Well, I wonder what we treasure most in our lives. What treasures do we have? What are our most treasured possessions? I think when we are asked that, and people sometimes say, what would you rescue first from your home if there was a fire? And we all have things in our minds, don't we, that we would first go and rescue. And so often when we think of treasured possessions, we think, don't we, particularly of material things. And the passage we have before us this morning, where the Lord Jesus, as he continues in his Sermon on the Mount, draws our attention to things that are of far more lasting value than anything that we could have in this world and in this life. The theme that we have for this morning is laying up treasure. Laying up treasure. Now notice how he says there in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And this last portion of this chapter here deals particularly with that subject of laying up treasures. And we're not coming to speak then about investments and interest and returns on our money. The world is full of advice on those things. People spend all their lives looking at better places to invest their money. But here's the Lord speaking about things of far more value. Spiritual investment. Things of our soul. Things of eternity. Laying up treasure. Remember how as we've been going through this series, particularly in this chapter, that the Lord Jesus has drawn our attention to hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees, particularly, that our righteousness had to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. That we need to have something that's deep and meaningful and real in our lives. That our lives aren't to be characterized merely by the external. Not in the pretense of knowing God or the pretense at a holy life. That the Lord Jesus wants us to see that it's a matter of the heart. Our relationship with God. That is what he's been impressing upon us, that it's the Lord. Remember how he spoke about those things that we do before the Lord, that to be done in secret, because it is the Lord who sees in secret, and he it is who rewards those who serve him in that way. Remember how he dealt with us in those earlier verses about not doing our giving to charity, not to be done in a public way, so that we're seen of those around. Talked about how we pray. Don't pray in an ostentatious way. These are the things that were around them all the time, were the Pharisees who did these things. He said we don't to use vain repetitions, and we looked at that last week, those who made much ado in their speaking and their prayer life. Here again he's saying it's a matter of the heart and how we approach God in our hearts, and it's the Lord who sees our hearts. And then in verses 16 to 18, we just read that in the passage earlier, talked about fasting. And similarly, again, if we feel that need and that burden to pray and to fast in that earnestness of setting aside food for a time, he says that also is to be done secretly. It's not for the world to see. It's not a show and a pretense for one another to see, but it's to be done before the Lord God. And it's the Lord who sees these things. And so what he's saying here and impressing upon us is that our relationship with God is to be real. It's to be of the heart. It's to be something that is within. It's not on the external, on the outward. And so as he comes to this last passage, as it were, the Lord Jesus is now developing that further and saying, now having impressed upon us that our relationship with the Lord is to be an inner spiritual, it's something of the heart, it's not the outer and the external. He comes to speak of something of what that relationship with the Lord is characterized by. What is it about this heart? What is it that we need to know if our hearts are to be right with God? If it's not the external that we are to do, and not the almsgiving and the fasting and the praying and the outer show of these things, it's not the religious ceremony, it's not the activity that we engage in, it's of the heart. And the Lord Jesus goes on to develop that further and talks then of laying up treasure. But to lay up treasure, this is something that is of value. This is something that is precious. This is something that is of substance. This is what is the heart of the matter. This treasure that we're to know in our lives. And so there are three things in this portion of God's word here, at the end of chapter 6, 19 to the end. There are three sections that I want us to look at under this heading of laying up treasure. First thing that is set before us here in these verses is that we're to lay up treasure in heaven. In heaven. It's there in the verses that we read. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, says there in verse 20. It's evident to us, it's obvious to us, isn't it, when the Lord Jesus says these things, but we need to think about it, don't we? We need to take these things to heart. Here's the Lord saying, your treasures upon earth, they don't last. And we know that, don't we? We know that really, but we somehow seem to forget it when we're involved and embroiled in our daily lives. And here's the Lord Jesus saying, you lay up treasure upon earth, your possessions, your wealth, and all the things that you can amass in this world, it's not going to last. It can be lost in so many ways. He talks there about moth and rust corrupting anything physical and material in this world. It decays, it fades, it shows the working and the passage of time and this fallen world, and nothing lasts forever. He says, if there is something that you've got that is so precious that it's not going to fade and rust and fade away, it could be stolen. Thieves break through and steal. It can be lost. And we are in a time in society where we've seen that happen numbers of times. People have stored up their money. They thought in safe places. And it can be gone in a moment through the dishonesty of others, through the thieving of others. Pension funds gone. All the things that people have stored up thinking that was going to make their lives secure. Lost in a moment. And here's the Lord telling us these things. But we know these things. And here's the Lord saying, so don't lay up treasures upon earth. But lay up treasures in heaven. He says, here is something that is lasting. There is a place where we can lay up a treasure that is of substance. Something that is of real value. Something that will last for eternity. Something that cannot be taken away. It cannot be lost. It doesn't degrade with the passing of time. It doesn't show all the fading of the things of this world. It's of eternal value. It's something that is to be laid up in heaven. Lay up treasure, he says, in heaven. See, the Lord is not only helping us to take our minds and thoughts off the things of this world and to heavenly things, but to think about what real treasure is. What's of real value? And he talks about our hearts, our souls, that which will live for eternity. And he goes on to say, doesn't he, there, he speaks of these verses in verse 21, as he spoke of laying up treasure in heaven, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So here's the Lord Jesus saying, now this is what's important. It's your heart. Not your body, not your material things, not the wealth, not the comfort that you can try and amass and gather around you, but your heart, your soul. That part of you that God has put in there that it's going to live forever. Where's that eternal destiny? Where's the eternal destiny of your heart? Is it so wrapped up in the things of this world that you've neglected your spiritual life, your spiritual home? Where your heart belongs. Where do we belong, really? In the presence of God. God made us to live for Him, to live for His glory. He made us to have a relationship with Him. He put us here upon earth that we might be those who glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And here the Lord Jesus saying, we need to be those who lay up treasure in heaven. We need to be those who come to know Him. To know Him in our souls. To know a life that is made right before the Lord. We need to be born again. You notice how he was saying that, wasn't he, in that passage that we read early in Colossians chapter 3. It was really a parallel passage to some of these things here. But he talked about, didn't he, how we're to put off the old man and to put on the new. He says there in verse 3 of Colossians 3, he says, you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Is that your eternal destiny? Is that where your heart is? Are you dead? The old man dead? Are you born again? Are you in Christ? Is your life hid with Christ in God? with God? Will you be with Christ when he returns? Will you be with him in glory when he returns to glory? See, this is what we need to know. We need to know that treasure, a treasure laid up in heaven. Do we know something of that relationship with the Lord? Do we know something of what it means to belong to Jesus? See, where is your heart? Does it belong still in this world? Does it belong in Satan's kingdom? Does it belong in the here and now? Or have you come to know the Lord Jesus, to trust in him for things eternal, to trust in him for forgiveness of sins, for a new life, for a new birth, for a home in heaven? This is what the Lord said to his disciples when he returned, wasn't it? Before his return, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Is that where your treasure is? Is your heart there with the Lord Jesus? In him? Are you in him? Do you belong to him? Do you belong to Jesus? It's a lovely old hymn, isn't it? It's not in this hymn book that we have, but remember that hymn where the chorus is, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for here and now, but for eternity. And that's where our treasure is to be laid up. Treasure in heaven. Treasure our hearts committed to the Lord Jesus, belonging to him, purchased by him. And there, you see, when we belong to the Lord, when he's redeemed us with his blood, and we've laid hold upon him and pleaded that he would receive us and forgive us and wash us clean and make us his own, that's a treasure that can never be taken away. That's a treasure that can never be lost. That can never fade. Passing of time doesn't change the reality of belonging to Jesus and being with him. See, do we have that relationship with the Lord? Are we those who have laid up treasure in heaven? And here's the Lord as he continues in these verses, speaking not only then of that coming to know him and to love him and belonging to him, but to keeping our affection upon those things. And there again, of course, over in Colossians, that's what he was saying there, wasn't it? The Apostle Paul, picking up something of these things. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. This is theirs, if that's where your treasure is. So there in verse 1, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Is that where your heart is? If you belong to Jesus, and your heart is with the Lord Jesus, is in Christ, you belong to him, is your affection on things above, where Christ is in glory? Is that what is your goal in life, is to please him, to know more of him, and to walk with him? That's what the Lord is saying here. And he says that takes some resolve as well. We need to set our affections on things above. We need to be those who lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Well, there's so much that we could say just on that verse there. The Lord here says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, there's no limit. There's no exhausting of the supplies of God's blessings upon his people. When we come to know the Lord Jesus and we belong to him, not for time but for eternity, there are treasures, plural, infinite, boundless treasures. There's the Lord who has that inexhaustible supply of blessings for his people in heaven. And if we are those who know and love the Lord Jesus, if we would set our affection upon things above and not upon things upon the earth, we would know more of that treasure that the Lord has for his people, the supplies of grace and of mercy and of blessing. There are treasures in heaven. And eye hath not seen nor ear heard the Lord hath for his people in glory. When we forget those things, and when we start to lay up treasures upon the earth, and we're so taken up with the things of here and now, we're neglecting the source of richest blessing in our lives. Source of a deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Of knowing that because we belong to him, we have an inexhaustible supply of blessings and glory that the Lord will bless his people. He will meet our needs. Let us not be taken up so much with the things of this world when we have the King of Glory, a King who owns all this great universe but has those supplies and glory to meet the needs, whatever your need is, the needs of his people. There he is then speaking then of laying up treasure in heaven. But the second thing he says here is that we're to lay up treasure in singleness. In singleness. What do we mean by that? Well, it means in devotion, in wholehearted, solely taken up with the Lord. He goes on to speak in these verses. In verse 22, he says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single," see, it's complete, it's dedicated, it's taken up entirely with the Lord. "Thy whole body shall be full of light." Goes on to speak about, again, developing this theme further, that when we neglect the things of the Lord, then we're, as it were, shading the light. When we're taken up with the Lord, and when we're taken up with who he is and what he's done for us, and we resolve to be wholeheartedly devoted to him and committed to him, there's that full entrance of light. He is light, and he's the light of our life. We walk with him. We're to walk in holiness. We're to walk in his footsteps. We're to walk in communion with him. And there is to be that singleness of heart. Read of that at the beginning of the book of Acts, when the early church, it spoke of them there, after the Lord's resurrection, spoke of them in singleness of heart, serving the Lord, meeting together in fellowship and in prayers and in breaking of bread. Singleness of heart. And there is to be that about the Lord's people. We come to know the Lord. We come to know a treasure in heaven. We come to know we belong to him. But where's that wholehearted devotion to him? Where's that full commitment to him? Where's that entire giving ourselves to him? And again, so often, you see, this is the theme the Lord Jesus is setting before us. So often, we're taken up with the things of the world. The things of the world come in. The concerns and the trials, and there are trials, and there are struggles, and there are difficulties. But oh, we're to be those who in singleness of heart are committed to the Lord. Dedication to him. Putting our faith and trust in him. See, if our eyes is single and we're taken up with him, then it means that we forsake all others. Notice how he goes on to speak of that here. It's the same theme. He goes on to verse 24. No man can serve two masters. So here he is saying, if you are giving something of your affection and your love to this world and the things of this world, you're trying to serve two masters. We mentioned this earlier in the service. We can be brought under the power of material things and the pursuit of wealth and the pursuit of comforts in this world and of luxuries and all the things the world has to offer, and it becomes your master, becomes your driving force in your life. And here's the Lord saying, but if with singleness of heart we would serve the Lord and follow him, we would know that we cannot serve two masters. We can't serve God and mammon. Who's it going to be? Like that great cry of Joshua of old, isn't it? Who is on the Lord's side? Who are we going to serve? Who are we going to follow? And if you try to serve partly God and partly mammon, he says it can't be done. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, we need to, in singleness of heart, in devotion, in faithfulness, in commitment to the Lord, be determined to follow him with all our hearts. And to live for him and to serve him. We need to be those who then, forsaking all others. Think of that description of the life of the Christian as a marriage bond. And the Lord as the husband. And when we come into a marriage relationship, we know that it is forsaking all others. And so it should be when we come to know the Lord Jesus. It's forsaking all others. We don't allow others to come and steal our affections when we're in a marriage bond. And when we come to know the Lord, we shouldn't allow others to come in and steal our affections and our love and our devotion when it belongs to the Lord Jesus and him alone. Are we going to be faithful to the Lord, forsaking all others, or thinking that we can somehow serve two masters, somehow be wedded to two people, somehow share our affections between two loves? It can't be done. It's a mark of unfaithfulness. And here's the Lord saying, we need to know something of our lives being filled with light. And he says, if we allow darkness to come in, oh, what a darkness it is. What effect it has upon our lives. the grip that it has upon us, how it takes over and takes us away from the Lord and brings us into darkness. We don't want to be those who walk in darkness, but walk in the light, as He is in the light. We're looking at that in our series in the evenings in 1 John. And we see that parallel again there. Are we going to be those who walk in the light as He is in the light? Or are we walking in the shadows? Are we walking half in the pathway and half in the darkness, in the shadows? Wanting to have a little bit of what the world has to offer, thinking that can give us some satisfaction, and a little bit of what the Lord has to offer. No, the Lord says in singleness, in the middle of the track, in the full light, serving Him and following Him. There we are to be those who, in singleness of heart, lay up treasures. But also it means, doesn't it also, that we are to be those who give our love to the Lord Jesus in singleness. To lay up treasure in singleness is to love Him with all our heart. Just as again in the marriage bond, we don't allow others to steal our affection. Just as in our love for the Lord, we don't allow others to steal our affection. So we are to put our love upon the Lord entirely, to embrace Him in love. He says that there in that verse, isn't he? He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. See, if we're those who somehow allow the world to intrude in our lives and to steal our affection for the Lord, our love for the Lord, the place that the Lord should have in our lives, there enters in either a lack of love for the Lord or a despising of the things of God. How sad that would be when we begin to despise a loved one, one who we owe our all to, one who's done all for us, one who's purchased us, and somehow we think that we can share that love with another. That's to despise what the Lord has done. The Lord Jesus gave Himself entirely for us. He died upon the cross at Calvary. Did just a bit of Him die? Did He keep a bit of Himself back? He died upon the cross. He offered Himself a sacrifice for our sins. He gave Himself. He bore all our penalty, not a bit of it. He didn't hold back a bit of God's wrath and judgment to say, well, I'll take some of it, but they'll have to bear the rest. He gave Himself entirely. He bore all our sins. Can we, in the face of that, in the realization of what the Lord has done for us and His love for us and His wholehearted devotion to us, can we keep back anything in our love for Him? Shouldn't our love for Him be entire, complete and faithful? Don't we belong to Him? Here's the Lord saying then, no man can serve two masters. Surely we want to be the ones who serve entirely in singleness of heart the Lord Jesus, devoted to Him and loving Him. Make sure that our love is upon the Lord Jesus. You're finding a love for the world creeping in. Go to the Lord. Confess it. Confess that. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to take away a love for the world. Oh, there are things that the Lord has given us to enjoy in the world, and rightly so. We're not to say we're not to live like hermits and monks. We're not to live in privation. We're not to give up all our possessions as though somehow that would earn us merit. The Lord has given us richly all things to enjoy. But our love and our affection is not to be on those things, because they're fleeting, they're passing, and they'll be gone. And we can't take them into eternity. We're to lay up this treasure, a love for the Lord, a devotion for the Lord, a commitment to Him. Lay up these things. Think of Solomon of old. Those great words of wisdom that he's recorded for us in the scriptures. He was a man who had such wealth, such influence, such power, everything that anybody in this world who seeks for these things can possibly imagine gaining. Solomon knew them all. And what was his verdict at the end? All is vanity and vexation of spirit. Those weren't the words of some embittered old man who found that somehow even all the things he amassed didn't give him satisfaction. These are the words of somebody who found out what treasure in heaven's about. Who knew that that is what was lasting. That this, that the Lord Jesus is speaking of here, this is what's important. And he says, no, all these things. He says, don't look at my wealth and my power and all that I've amassed and covet that as though that's going to bring you joy. He says, because it's empty and it's vanity. And it's passing. You need this treasure. to know the Lord Jesus, to know forgiveness of sins, to know eternal life, to know a home in heaven, to know the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. So then, let us be those who lay up treasure in heaven, to lay up treasure in singleness. And then thirdly, in this passage here, we're to lay up treasure in complete trust. Complete trust in the Lord. Entirely trusting the Lord for all our needs. You know, we've been speaking, haven't we, particularly about our spiritual lives, speaking about how it is that we can know that our hearts belonging to the Lord Jesus, know a home for eternity, and these spiritual things. What about the here and now? What about the lives that we live now? Because the Lord, he doesn't take us into glory the moment that he saves us. He leaves us here to serve him. He leaves us here with ordinary lives, like anybody else. Every single one of us here, we go through the same needs and concerns that another have. Well, here's the Lord saying, but if you've trusted him for your spiritual life, you've trusted him for salvation, you've trusted him for your eternal, never-dying soul, can't you trust him for your daily needs? Don't you trust him for your material needs? We're to trust him for everything. And you see how he goes on in these verses. And he speaks there about how we're not to be anxious about our food or our clothes or these daily necessities. Verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. When he says take no thought, he's saying no anxious thought, not to be so bound up and burdened and bowed down with this anxious and concern to provide for these needs. He says, yes, of course we take natural concern over them, but not to take that anxious thought, because that's taken away our trust in the Lord. You've trusted him for your salvation. Don't you trust him for your daily needs? Food and clothes and what you eat and what you drink. Is somehow that outside of God's remit, outside of his control? Having dealt with your soul, having sent the Lord Jesus to die for you, is somehow he unable or unwilling or uncaring about your daily needs? And here's the Lord Jesus. You see, he's developing this further. Having talked about how we're to lay up treasure in heaven, he speaks about how it's a treasure that deals with our daily needs as well. We lay it up in devotion to the Lord. We belong to him. We trust ourselves to him. We commit ourselves to him. And we know him supplying all our needs. And many of us can testify to how the Lord has done that down through our lives. There have been times when we've been thrown back upon God's mercy, thrown back upon trusting him entirely, taken to the end of ourselves, and the Lord has supplied our needs. And here's the Lord saying, therefore, having spoken about laying up treasure in heaven, having spoken about singleness of heart and devotion to the Lord, therefore, he says, I say unto you, take no thought for your daily needs, your daily concerns. See, he's the one who's made the connection here. Here's the Lord. He's the one who's drawn that connection. As you commit yourselves to the living God, a Saviour, to the Lord Jesus, you've laid up treasure in heaven. He says, therefore, why are you anxious and burdened about all your daily material needs and concerns? Don't be taken up with these things. And so he goes on to say, doesn't he, what is your view of your heavenly Father if these are the things that burden you? Don't you understand that you have a heavenly Father? And he repeats that a number of times here, doesn't he? Verse 26 speaks of your heavenly Father. Speaks of it again in verse 32. Your heavenly Father is reminding us that we have in glory, and we know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, we have a heavenly Father who loves and is concerned for his children, concerned for his people, and he meets their needs. There are three things that he says in this section about our heavenly Father. First thing is that he cares. Do we sometimes doubt his care for us? We sometimes feel ourselves to be suffering to an extent. We think God doesn't seem to care. Or the trial and the burden is to such an extent that somehow we think he doesn't care. the Lord draws our attention to the birds of the air, the fowls of the air. He says, your heavenly Father feeds them. They're not just things that happen to feed themselves. He says, your heavenly Father has everything in his hand. He sustains all this great creation. He feeds the birds. And what does he say there? The end of verse 26. Are ye not much better than they? You have a heavenly Father who cares. He knows our concerns and he cares. He supplies our need. If he'll supply the needs for his creation and a mere bird, a sparrow, surely we can be those who trust in him for our daily needs. He's one who cares. He's one also who satisfies abundantly. You know, the Lord in all his richness, we've been speaking of the riches in glory and the treasures that we can know, something of the experience of his blessings. When the Lord meets and supplies our needs, he's not as some miserly, stingy father who just gives adequate. The Lord is one who is bounteous in his blessings and his goodness. And we so often fail to see that. And we're so bound up with the here and now, we neglect to praise him and to acknowledge his great bountiful blessings to us. You see what he says when he talks in next? He talks there, he says, take no thought for your raiment, verse 28. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Speaking there about how God has clothed the fields. Verse 30. If God so clothed the grass of the field, what are the flowers there for? Why is there beauty in God's creation? Here's the Lord. He clothes the field. He creates beauty for his glory. Bestows these things here. And here's the Lord saying, Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like that. All the material wealth that Solomon had there, verse 29, he didn't know that great blessing of being arrayed like the lilies and the flowers of the field. You see, when God meets our needs, when God supplies our needs, he supplies it in a way that's bounteous. A supply that is glorious. A supply that brings glory to his name. And we need to be those who, as we lay up treasure in heaven, have this understanding that in complete trust in him, he'll not only care about our needs, but supply them bounteously. With glorious provision. And when we fail to see that, we act like a selfish child who wanted more or thought it should have had something different or something better. And the Lord it is who supplies our needs perfectly in a way that is honouring to him and glorifying. He supplies our needs abundantly. And of course we're also reminded, and God, he knows our needs. He knows them. It says there, doesn't he? In those verses, it says that God knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. You think he doesn't know? You think somehow this God of this universe doesn't know your need? He knows. So here's the Lord Jesus then, as he speaks of these things, laying up treasure in heaven. Let it be treasure in heaven, not upon the earth. Let it be in singleness of heart, in devotion, love to him. Let it be in complete trust, in trust for everything. Trust him for your soul. Trust him for forgiveness of sins. Trust him for your daily needs and your daily blessings, for the daily struggles and the daily concerns. Let it be complete trust. Know that he's a heavenly Father, a loving heavenly Father, and know that he desires the best for his people. Well, there's the Lord then in these verses saying these things, and he, in the end, in closing, sets before us a summary of these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a promise here at the end. There's a promise. That's God's promise. We've been reminding ourselves of God's nature, of his character, of who it is that we have to deal with. We have a Lord who's loved us. He saved us. But here, he's promised that he will add all these things unto us. Seek ye first, though. Seek first. First priority, first importance, is to know this Lord Jesus. Come to know him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, We can't prevail upon him in prayer for these second things, for the material needs, for all the other concerns that weigh upon you. First, most important thing in your life is to know the Lord Jesus, to lay up treasure in heaven. Then the promise is, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you doubt that? Have you come to know the Lord? Have you found him not to have been faithful? Lay hold upon these promises. Believe his word. Believe that he will indeed supply all your need. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your daily concerns. He finishes it off saying, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. The Lord supplies our needs daily. Trust him for today. And tomorrow, trust him again. And the next day, trust him again. We don't just simply now say, well, I trust him for all the years ahead and that's sufficient now. We need to go on trusting him. We need to go on looking to him daily. Not trying to cross the bridges before we come to them. Not trying to anticipate that there's a burden, there's a trial, there's a need coming that you're going to struggle with and you're not going to meet. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day, wait upon the Lord in prayer. Each day, we to look to him to meet our needs. Well, may each of us prove these things in our own lives. Having come to know and to love the Lord Jesus, may we go on with him, proving his love, proving his promises, proving his faithfulness, and may we be faithful to our Lord in singleness of heart, setting our affections upon things above. Amen. Well,